The whole bird theme had been a joke, really. Cardinal's joke, specifically. None of us found it funny, but it's not like the rest of us had any better ideas. He'd said if we're going to be superheroes, we should stick to a theme, some sort of iconography people could instantly recognize. He settled on the bird idea when he was trying to think of how to fit us into primary colors. I thought that was really weird, honestly. I vaguely remember from my old comics that superhero teams tended to consist of more specialized characters. You'd have your strong guy, your energy guy, your space alien tech guy, your one animal-themed character, a wizard, a mad scientist, or something like that. And the colors were usually not coordinated, since most teams consisted of people who already had their own solo comics and thus had their own style independent of the others. I later found out Cardinal was a huge fan of those goofy Japanese hero team shows. Still was, even though he was in his mid-30s. The kind of show where a handful of teenagers all got their powers from sci-fi wristwatches or magic amulets or something. Say a phrase, hit a button, and poof, they're covered in fabulous spandex and bike helmets, each one a specific color. They'd all have the identical powers of knowing martial arts and shooting laser guns. Also, they had giant robots, usually. I admit having giant robots would be kind of cool. Not that we needed them, given our powers, but such things would be a boon for mass transport and probably help with farming and construction. And yeah, they would even have been help in fighting off some of the larger creatures we'd battled in the early days. Anyway, there were times when the bird theme really seemed fitting, and not in the best way. Aside from being among the few superhumans who could actually fly, there were times I felt like a small creature in a cage, able to look out upon the world beyond the mist wall, but never able to reach it. Missouri isn't very big. Of all the 50 states, it's somewhere in the upper middle in terms of total land area, I think. At its longest stretch, from the tip of the northwestern fin to the tip of the southeastern boot heel, the state is about 500 miles long. I can clock my top speed at about 5,000 miles per hour, meaning I can get across the whole length of the state in about 5 minutes. I'm a bit faster than the others, since I'm the one who originally had the speed. It means I can be anywhere in the state I'm needed at any time, and the rest of the Avir can be right behind me. We've pretty much scoured every inch of the state by now. We're all feeling cabin fever, even under the seemingly open sky. I found myself wondering if, with powers like these, if we were still on Earth, would the whole planet seem too small after a few years? Right now I'd settle for just the Midwest by itself. No point thinking like that, though. We have what we have, and we just have to deal with it. This morning I left the former prison that serves as our base by going to the roof and lifting into the sky. There's no need to flap my arms or get a running start or fan out my cape. I just think fly, and I do. At most, I feel a sort of vague envelope of force push me from behind whatever direction I want to go. Once I'd raised 100 feet, I shot out towards the city, staying at about half the speed of sound to spare the people below any sonic booms and not give away my presence too obviously. It was only a couple of minutes before I crossed the deep trench that separates the still mostly intact Kansas City suburbs from the city proper. The fairly well-kept neighborhoods of the suburbs contrasted sharply with the mangled wreckage of apartments and skyscrapers between the trench and the mist wall. I did a lazy circuit around the city, scanning for mutant activity. I saw only the occasional lone creature scuttling or flopping about in search of food or just something to kill. One or two noticed me, and they raised their fists or claws or tentacles, shaking them at me and howling. Nothing answered their rallying call, though, and it's not like they could reach me themselves, so I wasn't really worried. The other mutants were either staying inside or underground, or our efforts have trimmed back their numbers so far that the gangs are just a paltry shadow of their former selves. This time I didn't even take my usual pot shots at some of the uglier specimens. Easier to let them finish each other off. I almost went the morning without incident. As I turned back towards the suburbs to check in with the base, an enormous shadow fell over me. I looked up in time to see something resembling a ragged pterodactyl diving towards me. It's easily the size of a bus. I dodged to the side, and the thing rushed past me, large greasy feathers dropping off its mottled leathery wings. Some kind of mutant vulture, perhaps? The thing clumsily pulled out of its dive, sweeping low over the remains of a toppled parking garage, and barely managing to avoid clipping the busted-out office building that the garage used to be attached to. It banked hard, flapped once, and this was sufficient, somehow, to launch its bulk higher into the sky, zooming up towards me with its toothy beak wide open, its wings spread behind it like those of a jet. I didn't think a creature, much less one that big, could actually fly that way. Maybe, like myself, it actually possessed some kind of mystical flying power, and the wings just helped stabilize it. I dodged to the side once more, ducking under the left wing. As it passed, I held out my hand and unleashed a burst of brilliant white energy edged with a blue aura. A single burst of plasma or laser light or whatever the hell this stuff is blasted the thing's chest apart like a rotten pumpkin. The creature fell into quarters. Each wing, the head and shoulders, and the rest of the body fell away from each other, crashing down to the ground, smoking from the edges that had once been attached to the torso. I hovered in the air and watched it fall, listening to the satisfying, meaty crunches of its corpse impacting on the ground. Only a few seconds passed before the body was suddenly swarmed, mutants jumping out from hiding spots to snatch up the fresh meat. Lanky, clawed ones sliced up chunks of the body and ran off with them. Thick, burly ones just ripped off pieces and lumbered away. I saw one with a massive set of jaws just start chomping away at one meaty thigh, ignoring or even biting the other mutants nearby as they tried to go for their own pieces. I set my jaw and watched the carnage, reminded of sharks in a feeding frenzy. It was revolting how low these people had been reduced. I've only met a few mutants who were not completely feral or irrevocably insane. To this day, seeing their twisted forms and their warped minds almost made me throw up. I held up my hands and charged a burst of energy. This wasn't their fault. They weren't evil. They were just people suffering a horrid, incurable disease. This is what I told myself on these patrols. They were insane. They were animals. Even those smart enough to form into gangs were savages. Cardinal was a fool to spare their lives. I was a fool. All of us, Avir, we should have cratered these cities into smoldering glass in the first month, not just cut the trenches. Who cares if the mutants also help suppress the monsters from the mist wall? Surely the mutants were worse to keep around. If nothing else, we'd be putting them out of their misery. I grit my teeth as I let the energy flare up, bright enough to be blinding to the poor creatures below. They howled and started to scatter. Too late. I unleashed a punishing salvo of energy bursts, using well-practiced reflexes to pick them off in what looked like a random peppering of the landscape, but was actually a series of precision shots to the creatures' torsos or heads. I found this technique much more effective than just using the less powerful, less controlled wide-angle blast. Depending on if they were near some kind of cover and how durable they were, some mutants could just survive a diluted shot, especially from this distance. Plus, a wide-angle blast would kick up too much dust and debris, letting the survivors escape under cover. As it was, I counted 37 bodies when it was done. Two had managed to escape through pure luck of being right next to cover and ducking into the shadows when I got started. One I had blown a leg off of, just barely missing its head, but it had 12 other limbs to run away on. I glanced around a bit to make sure there weren't any stragglers in sight, and that the ones I'd successfully hit weren't still moving. I let out a breath and closed my eyes, dropping my arms down and letting my cape drape over them. I tried not to feel too good about what I'd done. I tried to just think about it from a sort of pest control standpoint. I had to. These people, these things, were dangerous. You couldn't let pity make you soft. Like any vermin, they had to be eliminated in order to protect the citizens. Problem was, if I completely accepted them as inhuman, I felt myself almost relishing squashing them, the way I used to when I killed a bug. Between my great powers and their inhuman forms, that's what they seemed like to me, especially looking down at them from this height. When someone was as powerful as I, living in as delicate a land as this one, the idea that I might actually like killing things that were people, even twisted ones, was a little frightening. In my position, it was hard to stay grounded. I spun in the air to continue my trip back to base, only to jump back and get into a defensive posture when I almost ran into a figure that had been hovering right behind me. Ghost was there, staring at me with her creepy, silent, impossible-to-read face. I scowled. Somehow, without her saying anything, I felt like I was getting an earful of a judgmental lecture. She still didn't like me, despite agreeing to work for me. I can't say I blamed her, not when the carnage below was a casual morning exercise for me. Still, I composed myself, standing tall, lifting in the air a couple inches and crossing my arms. I set my voice to that well-practiced firmness. "Well," I said, "what's up?"
"Kestrel contacted the base," she said. "She wants you to call her back."
I nodded and floated past her to resume my trip home. She held out a hand and touched my shoulder as I passed.
"I think you were right to do it," she said.
I glanced back at her. Her gaze was on the still smoldering bodies of my victims. "That's very reassuring," I muttered. I was only being half sarcastic.